What Paul did, he finished his course and kept the faith. So, amen. All right, let's look at Joshua 7 tonight. We'll do as I previously said and begin with the first verse, then skip down to the very last two verses and come back and look at our study sheet together. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Let's look at verse 25. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burnt them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father tonight, Lord, as we come before you, Lord, I need you. I need you, Lord, in a mighty way tonight, Lord, for your touch to be of any benefit, Lord, to these dear people. Lord, I pray that I might feed the sheep well tonight, that, Lord, you would please use my life for their benefit, Father. And I pray and ask you, dear Father, that, Lord, you please give me liberty of the Spirit of God, fill me with the Holy Ghost, and help me tonight, Lord, to be obedient to you in all things, to truly be led by the Spirit of God as we look at this chapter together. Lord, I pray not for myself alone. I pray for every person that's in this room. That, Lord, in a special way that you would bless them. And, Lord, open their hearts to the Scriptures and to the Spirit of God. Would you do the grand teaching tonight? So, God, please, Lord, move. And please, may the will of Christ be accomplished at Merville Baptist as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. All right, let's look at our study sheet together. The church in the wilderness has now crossed over Jordan and become the church in the promised land. Joshua has taken over and determined to follow the Lord all the way. Remember, Joshua was one of only two who reported that the land into which he was now venturing was good and they were well able to take it. In Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9, it says, And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebelled not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bred for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. Later, when choosing Joshua to be the new leader after the death of Moses, God encouraged Joshua with these words, Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, And under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. With his bold confidence and this confirmation from the Lord, Joshua is ready to face every enemy and possess everything God has in store for his nation. They're going to witness the presence of God in every battle they incur. Their first encounter has yielded a great victory. The city of Jericho is now a conquered foe and lays in ruins. The spoils of Jericho have been gathered and placed into the treasury of the house of God. The people of God are now ready to move on to more conquered ground. Their spirits are high, and they know their God is with them as they turn their backs on Jericho and face unventured territory. They have increased in treasury wealth and also in numbers. The narrative records no Jewish casualties at Jericho, but it does relate the addition of Rahab and her household joining the ranks of Israel. How many times has a battle been fought and the advancing host suffers no loss but gains in number during the battle? This is unprecedented and phenomenal. The only explanation is God. Man's battle plans would never yield such victory, but God's did. The children of Israel obeyed the Lord and God gave the increase. That is God's way. That is God's desire. And that is God's battle plan. When we obey, God gives increase. In Deuteronomy 6:3, it says, "Hear therefore, O Israel," now watch it, "and observe and do it." There's the obedience. "That it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." In chapter 7, we want to consider throughout this entire chapter the chastening and the sin. Let's first consider the trespass concealed. In Joshua 7:1, we read these words, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Number one, verse 1 reveals what only two individuals knew, Achan and God. Before entering Jericho, Joshua has warned his people against taking of the accursed thing. In Joshua 6, verse 18 and 19, we read these words in last week's study. "And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, and ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." Every person involved were to observe this command of God, and there were no exceptions. After the great victory, something happened and it caught God's eye. In a detailed account, God precisely records who this was that committed the trespass and the accursed thing. He first names the individual and then traces his lineage so that there would be no mistaking who sinned. Sin is a very serious issue with God. Achan was the only one who knew what he had done, and God was watching. It is amazing how sin stands out in the sight of God, but it is overlooked or unknown by man's eyes. Nothing is hidden from the all-seeing eyes of God. In Proverbs 15:3, we read these words, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." We live in an age where there are cameras on every corner or someone near us who holds a phone equipped with a camera ready to record everything we do. Many crimes have been solved because of this advancement in technology. Long before the invention of cameras, God was watching and taking note of crimes committed, and He is still watching today. Nothing we do goes unnoticed by God, whether it be good or sinful. Achan has stood out in the eyes of God, but not for anything good. That was the trespass concealed. Now, verses 2 through 9, let's consider the trespass casualties. We read these words, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do to thy great name?" Number two, the next battle face would be at Ai. Let's first consider the surveillance at Ai. At this time, no one knows about God's displeasure with Israel except God. Joshua follows protocol and sends spies to Ai. Once viewed, they recommend that Joshua dispatch 2,000 or 3,000 warriors for this battle. The reason they recommended a small percentage be sent was twofold. One, the warriors are tired from the previous battle at Jericho. And two, the city of Ai was small in number. The surprise that they found. About 3,000 warriors are sent to Ai. And even though the men of Ai were few in number, they chased the children of Israel and smote about 36 Jewish warriors. Number four, something was wrong. The Jericho encounter yielded such a tremendous victory. Now a small, insignificant amount of people have devastated the mighty army of Israel. They come home defeated and discouraged. This did not go as planned. One day they are shouting, and the next they are dismayed and beaten. The Christian life is lived out with victories and defeats. You will face some battles with complete revenge and triumph. The next battle face may leave you defeated and deflated in spirit. The only place to go is upon your knees and surrender to the Lord. Those defeated times are just as needful in the Christian life as the victorious mountaintops. Someone once said, "Sunshine all the time makes a desert." If all we ever experienced were the victorious mountaintops, I dare say we would lose our sense for the need of God in our lives. Our carnal nature would certainly inflate our egos, and we would expect complete victory without introspection of self or inquiry at the throne of God. Maybe if Joshua had prayed before pursuing the battle, this loss would have been avoided. I do not want to be too judgmental on Joshua, for I have failed much too often to pray as I should before entering battle. The supplication. Number five, when Joshua discovers the tragic news, he calls the assembly of elders together and they fall on their faces before the Lord. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I've been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day." Joshua and the elders are feeling the same sentiments as they kneel there that day with rent clothes and dust covering themselves. They have lost the battle and lost precious men. The inward gut-wrenching experience is not pleasant at all. Churches have faced the same experiences at times. There are the times when we enjoy the increase God provides through salvation, new membership, or other means, and we relish in the victories. Then there are those times when no other words can describe the condition other than we lost. Whatever the reason for the loss, it is certainly befitting for us to do as Joshua and his followers. Solomon was told by God during the dedication of the temple that if the nation of Israel experienced drought or pestilence in the land, what they should do. In 2 Chronicles 7, verses 13 through 14, the Word of God says it like this. If I, God speaking, he said, "If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, Or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Every preacher who's ever preached on the theme of revival has used at some time God's remedy during ruin message to Solomon. It still applies today as well. Whether it is defeat in a church, a home, a business, or a country, God is waiting on one reaction from us. Another plan will not suffice. Humility before God, prayer, and repentance is always necessary to correct anything in our lives. Joshua is a discouraged leader. He is a discouraged leader. I know some that say that they've never been discouraged. I don't know what to think about somebody that makes those kind of bold statements. I believe we've all been discouraged with home life, church life, self. I believe we've all faced it at times. And discouragement is a part of life. You know what the word discouragement means? Discouraged. Dislocated courage. Your courage has vanished. It has disappeared. And it's been said before that courage is fear that has said his prayers. And sometimes we get discouraged along the way with events that happen in our lives, things that come to us personally, things that happen within a body of family, things that happen within church life, and it affects us. It discourages us. All leaders face discouragement. Things happen and the discouragement comes. Joshua is a discouraged leader. During his prayer, he chides with the Lord about their situation and loss of face before their enemy. During discouragement, Christians will do drastic things before the Lord. Moses told the Lord he needed to repent. He told God to repent. Jeremiah cried out to the Lord. Listen to these words in Jeremiah 15:18. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Well, he's talking to God now. This amazes me about the character of God. Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? He's calling God a liar. Sometimes we get the impression that if we're honest with God, that a bolt of lightning come out of heaven and zap us. But God doesn't operate that way. He knows Joshua is discouraged. He knows that he's hurting. He knows he's going through something he's never experienced before, and this is new territory in his life. And notice Peter. You remember Peter? Peter got mad at Jesus. You remember Peter? He drew the sword. He's ready to fight in that garden. Whacked off one of the ears. Ear fell to the ground, and Jesus reaches down, puts the ear back on the head, gets rid of all the evidence, and Peter's mad, and Jesus surrenders to the enemy. That is not what Peter envisioned for his Savior. He got mad at the Lord, and then when he was confronted, Peter denied he even knew Jesus. I'm just trying to tell you that discouraged people, discouraged Christians will do crazy stuff when we're discouraged. Can I get an amen right there? We all do. Peter got mad with Jesus, denied he ever knew the Lord. We say hard things to the Lord and we'll do stupid stuff when we are discouraged. When things don't go the way we expected and discouragement finds its way into our minds, it is good to know that the Lord understands and seeks to show His care toward us during our troubles. Verse 8 is a revealing part of Joshua's prayer. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? Joshua is concerned about their reputation before others, and rightfully so. They were told by Rahab that Jericho had heard about God and His people, and it scared them. Now their victorious reputation was stained before their enemies. But Joshua needs to learn a lesson that we all need to consider. Their success was not dependent upon the fear they caused in others, but rather in their obedience to the God they served. Their victory came from the Lord alone. To receive the benefits of God's protection and blessings, they must please Him. Remember, God is the only one who knows about Achan at this time. Joshua and the leadership need to be ready for the revelation God is about to give them. Israel has sinned. Our reputation before others is not near as important as our obedience to the Lord. Boy, that cut me when I wrote those words. Oh, Lord. I had to do some repenting in the upper room today. The trespass communicated. In Joshua 7, verses 10 through 15, we read these words. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you in the morning. Therefore ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. Number 6, the Lord reveals to Joshua the sin that offended him. The words came from heaven like a bolt of lightning. In essence, God tells Joshua, Get up off your face. Israel has sinned, when we are going no further until it is corrected and cleansed. There are some interesting things to learn about sin from God's remarks, from His viewpoint. Number 1, God takes sin seriously, whether we do or not. He takes sin seriously. Sin offends God because He is holy. We can look over it. We can look at it and yawn because we're not God. We're not as holy as God. And it doesn't offend us the way it offends God, but sin offends God because of His holiness. Number 2, God will not allow one person by with sin. And I thought about this. Let's say the example at hand, Joshua chapter 7. Let's say God let Achan by with this. And they went on down the road and something else happened. And somebody else sinned. And God judged that. Would God be a just God operating that way? Here's the thought about number 2. God will not allow one person by with sin. If he dismissed only one individual, he would be unjust in his judgment of anyone, including Satan. Wow. Number three, God will halt advancement until sin is dealt with. He will halt advancement. And number four, God views his people as one. There was only one sinner among the congregation. It had affected the entire body of people. Israel has sinned, was God's assessment of the situation. He is going to reveal the individual soon enough, but the sin of one has been charged to them all. It does not seem fair, but we should consider the thought for a moment. Considering the whole body of people, only one person had sinned against the Lord, yet the Lord held them all accountable for the one individual's wrong. Achan's sin was affecting the entire congregation because his sin was offending God. That is the ugly truth of sin. One person's sin will affect many others they are associated with. In a family, one member's sinfulness will cause their loved ones much grief and brokenheartedness. In a church, one member's sin will infect the entire congregation. It happened in the church at Corinth. One member had committed fornication and it divided the entire church apart in 1 Corinthians 5. The sin of that one man had to be dealt with and cleansed before the church could enjoy the fellowship of God again. The principle is summed up in Paul's statement to the Corinth believers. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Our sins offend God and affect others. I wish the entire world knew that. I wish everybody understood that principle about sin. They say, oh, I ain't hurt nobody. Me sitting here at the house drinking right by myself, it ain't affecting nobody. Oh, yes, it is. Everybody affected in that family, everybody, a member of that family has been affected by that one individual sin. The trespass chasing in chapter 7, verse 16 through 26. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. Behold, it was hid in his tent and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and to all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Let's consider the search. Number 7, the judgment of Achan begins. During the Jericho experience, there was much spoil to be gained by the children of Israel. God considered everyone and everything in the city of Jericho accursed. And for this reason, no one was to personally gain from the spoils, but rather everything was to be given to the treasury of the house of God. Achan had taken the spoil for himself and hid it under his tent. No one was privy to the escapade except God. Now, 36 men are dead. And they had families. There's 36 families that's been affected by the death of 36 men. Now 36 men are dead, and the leadership of Israel is discouraged and dismayed. As God begins His judgment, a process of narrowing the search is administered, which would take a long time. All the tribes are gathered together, and once assembled, the tribe of Judah is selected. Now we're talking probably 1 million people that's having to gather. This is taking a long time to narrow the search down. As God begins His judgment, a process of narrowing the search is administered, which would take a long time. All the tribes are gathered together, and once assembled, the tribe of Judah is selected. Once the tribe of Judah is separated, the family of the Zarahites is selected. Then one by one, the men pass by until Zabdi was selected. Finally, the household of Zabdi was singled out, and Achan was in the spotlight of God's judgment. Finally, during all this process, much time passed giving Achan the opportunity to step forward with a confession, but none was willfully made. If we confess our sins, God will cover them in the blood of His Son. If we attempt to cover our sins, God will reveal them. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them," there's more to than just confession. "Confession and forsaking them shall have mercy." That was the search, the statement. Number 8, when asked, Achan confessed, but it was too late. God's judgment was set. Some may wonder why Achan is judged since he confessed. Achan was confessing because he got caught. Achan had caused the death of 36 men, and he never exhibits any sorrow. The entire congregation of Israel are aching because of Achan, and repentance is never expressed. He saw, there's a process in all of this. He saw, he coveted, he took, and he hid. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden. God gave them one command. And He said, "Don't eat of the tree that's in the midst of the garden." They did. We know the story. They did. And what did they do? They hid. Sin makes cowards out of us. We'll never express the boldness of God in living with sin in our lives, because sin will make a coward out of us. He saw, he coveted, he took, and he hid. That is his statement. And the damage is irreversible. The sentence. They find the hidden items and bring them before Joshua. Achan, his stolen goods, and everything belonging to him were brought to the Valley of Achor. All Israel played part in the stoning of Achan that day. A fire was set, and once everything was burned, they raised a heap of stones marking the transgression of Achan. The sorrow is heard loudly in the very last verse. God had told His people to set up a memorial of stones once they crossed the Jordan River to commemorate their great victory. Now another heap of stones witnessed the tragic end of Achan. As the people walked away that day, hearts were broken. There's no shout in the camp. There's not anybody telling jokes as they walked away. This has broken the entire congregation of Israel. They all played a part in the judgment of this man. And here's something that I never considered till I wrote this last thought. Can you imagine the intense emotions of Achan's mom and dad as they slowly walked away from their son's grave marker? The place bore the name, the Valley of Achor, which means trouble. Tragically, our sins do affect all around us, especially the ones who love us. Whew. Lord, have mercy. What a chapter. A chapter that every child of God and every church needs to take a long look at. Amen.